James, let me ask you, what kind of technology might have been on that continent, on Atlantis? You know, spacecraft design, if any. What do you think they had? How advanced were they, anyway?
Well, the first inkling that I got that something was, they had some advanced technologies, was when I learned that they had glass. They had the very advanced glass and mirror-making techniques. And once you're at that point, then you know the properties of glass. They also clearly had metal, and at that point, now you can start to make containers, and we know from the development of electricity and the knowledge of electricity, say in the 1800s, when they were taking glass vials and they'd put two pieces of aluminum foil, you know, just simple experiments. I mean, glass always was one of the primary elements that we needed to understand and experiment with electricity.
I'm beginning to see the tie-in with Tesla now.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And Tesla came at a time when glass and glass working was very available. So prior to that, you could have been in a place. The other key element of Atlantis being in the South China Sea and prior to the pole flip was that if you take a globe, you look at the old North Pole north of the state of Michigan, somewhere up in Canada, and then you look at the South Pole in the South Indian Ocean, and you do a rotation of the old equator, you find that Atlantis in the South China Sea was just a few degrees south of the equator. So it was right on the westward-moving electron central ion belt, basically. Mm-hmm. That we call it an ion belt, but around the equator it moves westward, and it's primarily electrons. And also, that area is extremely active electrically, so that even in the early days of our space program, NASA did not even want to fly over there, and if they did, they would shut down all radio communications. So it's very electrically attached to both the ionosphere and to outer space outside of the planet. So basically, here you have an area which is very electrically attached vertically, and you're living basically in a sea of energy that's flowing into the planet from that upper region of the atmosphere.
It's all over the place, right?
Yeah. On page 20 of my book, I show a picture of one of the volcanoes in the South China Sea, and they're very active up above electrically, much more so than other volcanoes around the world. But basically, it would be like living in Polynesia and not knowing how to swim. They were living in a sea of free energy. It was just coming out of the sky at them. So it's small wonder that they learned how to use this and harness it and basically do what Tesla eventually learned how to do, and that is to break down the vertical electric field and tap into that source of energy.
Do you think they used it to fly?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's why in the book I give the spacecraft design that I provide there, which is one of my, actually it was solidified by 1982, and I presented this at multiple gatherings of international scientists, and it includes a series of glass tubes where you run electrical currents through the glass tubes. The currents push against the local magnetic field, in this case the Earth's magnetic field, and it's a propulsion system.
A relatively simple one, too, I guess.
Yes, and the thing is, you do not expel any mass, so it's non-inertial, so to speak, in terms of physics. You don't have to carry a chemical that you heat up and blow out the back end of a rocket. So your mass is extremely low. You basically power this with nuclear power cells, and there again, you have a glass container for the nuclear power cells. So glass is your essential ingredient there. And basically, the Atlanteans needed to know how to use glass and metals in combination to make these tubes and everything else. My view is that our legends tell us that Atlantis existed for 10,000 years.
Now, where would they use these craft, in space or just merely around their continent?
Both. And the now I want to talk a little bit about the statue of Poseidon, which was, legend has it, was in the very center of the five-ringed city, which was the capital of Atlantis, the major metropolitan area. And they were a colony, an empire, so they had colonies all over the world. But the main central location of Atlantis, the continent, was in the South China Sea. And the central capital, Atlantis, had a five-ringed city, which was tiered in like plateaus going up to the center. And in the very center of the top plateau, the central ring, was a gigantic statue with five horses all made out of gold drawing a chariot with Poseidon. And his big spear was sticking up in the air. But what this also did, it was the Tesla connection.
It was an antenna.
It was an antenna to basically tap the electricity out of the vertical electric field of the Earth. So this was also their current source. Now, when you have this vertical current coming down, it creates quite a magnetic field. So you can ride that magnetic field up with your spacecraft, with the propulsion system that I just described. Once you get up there, now you have currents, which I've defined in the plasma discharge comet model, which also talks about the currents around Earth and connecting the other planets. So, for example, in the book I describe that as Mars comes into conjunction with Earth, which, of course, is going to happen here in May, and also it's alleged that the orbit of Mars in ancient times brought it much closer to Earth than it currently does.
You mean in August?
In whatever month that was, yes, the conjunction that we're going to see in August.
Right. Now, this technology that they had apparently on Atlantis, was it also all around the world at that time? I mean, did other areas have the ability to tap into all this, or was Atlantis a very special continent all by itself?
It seems Atlantis was very special. The legend of Lemuria is that they were very much an earthy people and developed the mental side of human development, that they could... they had tremendous mental and telepathy type of powers, whereas the Atlanteans were more like maybe something like Western culture now, where we depend on technology as opposed to developing our mental state. But it's not known what was going on in Greece, because the ancient Egyptian priest cults who talked to Solon, who was the great the Greek emissary to the Egyptians, basically he told them that the Greeks, the pre-cataclysm Greeks, and the Atlanteans were having a huge war, and the Greeks were starting to win. So it's, you know, the thing that I always see here is there seems to be a very bizarre combination of old technologies and very, what we would call very superior technology.
All intertwined somehow.
Intertwined. They had chariots. They had... horses. They had...
Well, look at the Star Wars movies. They have this unbelievable technology, James, but they're living like in caves, in blocks and stuff. When you look at that movie, the first thing you think about is, I wonder if that's what Atlantis looked like. They had this unbelievable technology, yet... At the same time, they're living like cave dwellers.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so you know, there's such a difference. In fact, we have something like that today even. Just imagine our technology here, and you go to third world countries, and, you know, they're, 95% of the people on this planet are living hand-to-mouth in the dirt.
Yeah, almost. I mean, it's like a plane lands there. Has no business being there, really, technically, and then takes off, and that's almost as if it seems that way with that kind of technology.
Right, right. And they did not have to... The thing that's interesting about all these technologies is you do not need to understand the physics behind them. You don't have to understand that there's a solar wind or a solar battery. You don't have to understand a lot of this to produce these technologies.
So you think that's what Tesla knew, that's what he was tapping into, a technology that was already on this planet thousands and thousands of years ago?
Yes, absolutely.